that was great. Sound lovely to see.
Good evening. We're in Mark chapter 1, and our specific passage tonight is verses 29 through 39. I'm going to start reading at verse 21. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." And throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately the news about him went out everywhere into all the surrounding districts of Galilee. And immediately after they had come out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to him about her, and he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. And when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there also, for that is what I came out for." And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. Let's go to the word in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for the preservation of your word, that we can read this and understand who you are. We're thankful specific for this passage, which gives a wonderful snapshot of your ministry. And I pray that we would be able to learn from it and glean what you would have us to learn. Thank you for your son. In his name we pray. Amen. Has anyone ever written a book? If you had to write a book specifically about a person, how would you start? How would you start compiling the information? Let's say it's someone like Jesus, that you spent 4 years with him, and you had to write a book describing who he was to people who didn't know him, that was going to last for generations. And this might be the only glimpse that they have of who he is. Where would you begin? How would you compile all the information, everything that you've learned, everything that you saw? And now, think about this. What if I said it could only be 20 to 25 pages, 12 font, single spaced? That's about the size of Mark, if you had to type it out. So one of the amazing things that we can glean from this is the brevity and the compactness of the information that we have in these Gospels. Mark is a short excerpt, and today's passage is one day. What I just read to you is one day in the life of Christ. There aren't too many, actually, one days described in his ministry. In the Passion, when we get to the Passion Week, it's hour by hour, we get much closer to what a day in Christ. But for his ministry, there aren't too many. There's one other excerpt in Mark later on that we'll see. Luke does a bit of a day, but here in the beginning of Mark, we have an entire day from the morning in the synagogue to going home with, who to go with? With the four, Andrew, where am I? Lost my spot. James, John, Andrew. So he goes home, and then after that, multitudes come to his house, and crowds gather. The whole city, it says, comes, and he heals them. And then we find him going off to pray by himself and then moving on to the next spot. So here we have, so Mark and Peter, Peter here, remember, is dictating to Mark what he eyewitnessed. They chose this day to introduce Mark at the beginning of his gospel to the audience. Here again is the Roman Gentile Christians. So many of these Christians, they knew, of course, the message. They had a familiarity with Christ. But this is the first, could be, the first formal description of who Christ is. So why did he choose this day of all the days? I mean, is this a typical day in the life of Christ? Maybe. It says in Luke, John chapter 20, now there were also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So I'm sure this is one of many days that were like this. But they chose this specific day to describe, to introduce these Roman Gentile Christians to who Christ was. And if you take a step back, which we will here, this day gives us a lot of the elements of Christ's ministry. It shows him teaching. It shows him having authority over demons. It shows him having compassion on one individual, namely Peter's mother. It shows him having compassion on crowds, on multitudes. It shows him healing. It shows him having communion with the Father through prayer. It shows him submitting to his Father's will. And it shows a commitment to his mission. So in this snapshot, it's a pretty good day to introduce people to who the personality and the mission of Christ and why he was here. So it does a good job of describing who Jesus was. So just to review, Mark is a companion of Paul. He's the author. We've known him throughout, introduced to him through Acts as a companion of Paul throughout his missionary journeys. At the end of Paul's life, in 2 Timothy, he says that he is useful to him for service, so he was a close companion of Paul. He was also obviously close to Peter. In 1 Peter 5, Peter calls him Mark, my son, and early church tradition says that this is Mark recording Peter's eyewitness accounts. So Mark is writing along with Peter talking about what he witnessed. Dean said in his, he's not here, so I can talk about him. Dean said, and I can disagree with him a little bit, that it's pretty well established that Matthew was first, then Luke, then Mark, then John. When I heard that, I was surprised, because I had always learned that Mark was first, then Luke, then Matthew, then John. And in my initial research, it popped up that Mark was first. So I'll just leave it that there's debate as to, and good arguments for both as to who was first. But it it's doesn't really matter. It's not really relevant. But just to say that there is debate as to which was first. And again, the audience that Mark is writing to is Roman Gentile Christians. The theme of Mark, so if you're talking to people who aren't familiar with the Old Testament and you're trying to introduce them to a relatively familiar crowd of they know who Jesus is, but they really have not had a formal introduction to who he is, the theme is Jesus as a suffering servant. And he introduces him right in Mark 1:1 as the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, comma, the Son of God. So right out in front, telling them who he is. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Capital G, not all those little g's that you guys are familiar with, but the Son of God. The theme verse would be Mark 10:45. It says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And that encapsulates the gospel. Timeline, this is early. This passage here is early in Christ's ministry. Mark is chronological, and Luke is chronological. Matthew and John, not so chronological. They kind of go from place to place, and is more thematic than it is chronological, which is why in Matthew, this passage comes after the Sermon on the Mount. But in chronological order, the Sermon on the Mount was later. So Mark's gospel is chronological. So this is the most complete single-day narrative in the Bible. And there are other passages that nearly give a full day, but this is the most complete day that is dictated in the Bible. It shows the rhythm of Jesus' ministry. It shows him teaching. It shows him facing demons, showing compassion, healing, communion with the Father, and fulfilling his mission. So let's just kind of walk through it together, and I'll give some comments through each passage. So first, we're going to see how he has compassion on Peter's mother, an individual, in verses 29 through 31. And immediately after he had come out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to him about her, and he came in to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. Just a few observations on this passage. First is that it's on an individual. So Christ takes time to serve individuals. He's not, and usually they're humble, lowly individuals. Not necessarily the politicians or the well-to-do, the people who could really perhaps influence change. If someone was coming into an area and wanted to install change, they would go to probably different people. But Jesus had compassion and was Savior to individuals. I'll also observe that she was healed right away. As soon as he healed her, he didn't say, okay, go rest and you'll feel better in the morning. Right away, she was able to serve five hungry grown men on the Sabbath. So immediately she started waiting on them and serving on them. So his healing was immediate, 100% right away healing. Next, he has compassion on the masses, starting in verse 32. And when the evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill, those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. So it says here he healed many. In the book of Matthew, it says he healed all. It couldn't have been everyone in the city, because in the morning when he came out to pray, people were still looking for him. People probably traveled. Word spread, and people gathered from all over the area to come see him. But imagine the congregation that had gathered and him healing everyone. Everyone showed up to work the next day because they weren't sick, they weren't injured. Everyone was made well. So he also had compassion on the masses. And there's several examples also in the Bible where he, the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples wanted to send them away, but he said, no, let's feed them. Matthew 9:35 says, as Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel and the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness, and seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So we have many examples throughout his ministry of him having compassion on large crowds and large crowds following him everywhere. We also notice that he had authority over demons. We spoke about this last week. Kevin did a great job of describing that the demons understood who he was, and the people not necessarily did. Let's go back to verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately the Sabbath entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, and he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, what do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. So we see here that he exposited the scriptures in front of them, having authority, giving them descriptions and meanings that they had not understood before. And he also exercised authority over the demons. Later, we'll see that he has authority over nature. We'll also see that he has authority over sin, and he has authority over death. Let's jump back to verse 35 and examine when Jesus prays. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there also. And that is what I came out for. And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. Notice he went early and he went alone. What a great example for us, and a lesson for us, that if Christ needed to have time alone with the Father, how much more should we prioritize having time alone early with the Father? Luke 5:16 says, but he himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. So this was a regular occurrence that Christ did throughout his ministry. It showed his dependence on the Father, communion with the Father, and alignment with his mission. A human response, particularly when they came to find him and said, there are more people here, a human response would say, okay, there's a need for me here. I need to go heal more people because they're here. Perhaps some of these people had traveled long and far to come see him, to be healed. But after he prays and has communion with the Father, it realigns his purpose and gives him clarity of his purpose. He has resistance to the distractions, to perhaps popularity, or even an immediate need. The communion with the Father allows him to focus on his purpose and to realign what he's there for. And after he prays, his conclusion is, no, we need to move on to the next town. That is my mission. That is where I'm going to preach. So it's not meeting every physical need. It's not about popularity. There will always be more needs than there are time. But Jesus is driven by the Father's will, not by the crowd's demands. So he had the power to fulfill every need, but instead he chose to fulfill the Father's mission. So it's a good example for us when we are serving. Are we aligned with the Father's will? Do we have enough communion with the Father? Do we know who he is through his word? Do we have that relationship? Are we talking with the Father enough to understand what he is calling us to do? Or are we just playing whack-a-mole with whatever need we see in front of us? We'll try to fulfill it. Sometimes we need to take a step back, pray, and consider, is my service in line with what the Father is calling me to do? And we can only have that, as Christ did, by having communion with the Father. So this one day in Mark shows us everything. It shows us who he is and what he came to do and what it means to follow the Father, not driven by urgency or popularity, but by faithful obedience to God. Anyone have any questions? Thank you for listening.